is holy.
Yes.
That's thinking, as she was singing there, you know, the Lord created music, you know, and Satan hijacked it. But I'm so glad that in our midst we don't glorify Satan with our talents. Amen. So it was such a blessing. Let's open our Bibles to Zechariah chapter chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. It's already been good to be in the house alone tonight.
Yes.
Now we get to the good part.
That's right.
Amen. You know, there's just something about his presence and such liberty, such life, such joy, just lightens your footsteps. And
yes.
It's just really wonderful. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is waking out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? And then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And one more scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We're titling this tonight, The Message of Grace. Just bend our hearts to him just for a moment. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, for this little opportunity we have. And Lord, we know that you're here. We know that your blessings are upon this people and upon this place. And so it humbles us, Lord, that we just want to tell you that we give you liberty tonight to just touch our hearts, speak to us, Lord, in our lives. Those present, Lord, those that are streaming, those that will stream later, listen somehow later, we just pray for the same blessings to go to them. Lord, that you'll minister to them, to their hearts, through your word tonight. We pray, God, that if there's any evil thing that's hindering them, Lord, that your word, it would drive those things back so that they could hear and see and know what you have so wonderfully given to us in this day. We ask, God, that you do these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. The message of grace. You know, we know, we read so many and heard it so many times that we are saved by grace. We just read it. We are saved by grace through faith.
That's right.
Through faith. And the scripture said, it's not of ourselves, but it is a gift from God. We know that the word grace means unmerited favor. And there's so many scriptures and so many things that we can talk about how that God came to Abraham and blessed him, and it was not from works, because if it was works, then it, you know, man could glorify and boast in it or whatever, but it was totally by the grace of God. And so grace, unmerited favor, we didn't do anything, mm-hmm. nor can we do anything. But God made a way for us where there was no way. There was no way for us. Yeah. And God made a way for us where there was no way. He made a way because he chose to. Yeah. And so, but the thing of it is, we must believe it. We must believe his word. We must believe. It's a humbling thing. But you see, God has taken us from a place where we were come to a dead end. And he made a way for us, and he has brought us up to a position and a place by grace that we could never get to without it.
Yeah.
We could have never get to this place. And he expects us to humbly accept that elevating that he's done to this place that grace has provided for us. He expects us to believe that. And when you do accept that and you believe that, it unlocks a faith. And we know the scripture says faith which worketh by love. When you see what God has done for you, it sure makes you fall in love with him.
Amen. Right.
And it'll begin to work something. And so, you know, faith worketh by love. And we're saved by grace through faith. Faith is the avenue by which these things happen. But it's by the grace of God that he's even given us the opportunity that we can hear, because faith comes by hearing also. That we can even hear and begin to have faith. And so he expects us to believe it and realize and know that God has done these things, not because of anything we have done or could do or ever, but simply because he chose to do it.
Yeah.
He chose to pour out his grace upon you. And by that, you now can have faith to live in something you could never have lived in without it. He's made a way for us to be and live and act like sons and daughters of God. I hate to say act like, because that means acting. But to be, to really be, in expression, sons and daughters of God. Yeah. You know, God has always made a way for his people. Mm-hmm. I ask you, read the entire Bible. Yeah. He has, it's just really, we must realize that no matter where we find ourselves, God is there. And you can't find yourself in a situation where he can't help you.
That's right.
Right. I don't care what it is. If you can figure it out, if you can wrap your head around it, then it doesn't take faith.
Yeah. Right.
But that's the way the formula works. When you find yourself in a place where you can't do it, then God's got a way for you.
Amen.
Right there.
Amen.
By his grace, through faith, he can make a way for you where there is no way. Where you can't see a way. You can't figure it out. And so, sometimes you can try to figure something out so much that you short-circuit your own brain. Your own ability to process what's going on. You just, because when you try to solve something that only God can do, you're going to mess up. It's going to twist you in all kinds of places. You'll find yourself in places that only God can help you. And when you try to do it yourself, then you just get all messed up.
That's right. Right.
And so it's guaranteed in life to be roadblocks. There are always going to be something that's going to try and come up in front of you to tell you that you can't be and live and have the blessings and all the things that God... There's always going to be that, but that's an opportunity.
That's right.
That's where God, if we'll just turn to Him, that's where He will get you out. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, they say, well, when you get older, you're just going to have thus and thus happen to you. Right, as you get older, you're just going to have troubles with this or troubles with that. Do you read that in here, in the Bible? See, it doesn't say that as you get older as a man that you'll have to get up and go to the restroom many times a night. Right, the Bible doesn't say that. Faith tells you don't have to. Yeah. Right, and so I'm just saying, no matter what it is. If it's not written in this word, then it's not true.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so God pours out His grace in our lives, and He does enough in our lives so that we can realize, you know what? He's blessed me.
Amen.
He has opened up a doorway for me that I couldn't have without it. Mm-hmm. And you see that, and you begin to realize that. And so He reveals enough of His grace to you and that you found grace in His sight. And then He expects you to walk in that grace. I think I've mentioned in the past, you know, how like a woman can walk gracefully. You know, I think many years ago, I've used the example of, you know, a bull through a china closet or going to a shop that's got all these things that would break. It'd be almost impossible for an 1,100-pound bull to go through one of these places and knock things off the shelf and go through Jaegers and knock things everywhere.
Yeah.
But if grace is upon him, he could.
Mm-hmm.
He can walk through it and never touch a thing.
Yeah.
And that's what God does in our lives. Mm-hmm. By his grace, when he puts his hand upon you, his grace upon you, now he has empowered you and brought you to a place where you can gracefully navigate through everything that comes your way life.
Yeah.
Gracefully. Walking in grace. And that's what he expects us to do. I feel like the Lord is not pleased at all if we don't really accept his promises and say, you know what? And so we just gotta every day. This is not just once we're talking about it. One time just the grace of God comes on us. But we're talking about daily the grace of God touching our lives. Getting us through obstacles every day, every week, every month, every year, and our whole entire life. He can be with you and navigate you through things that you could never get through without him.
That's right.
That's what the grace of God does. And so we want to do that regardless of how many times you fail. Regardless of how many times you fail, God can get you through those things. And so he'll guide you through every part of your life if you'll just look to him regardless of what it is. And so no matter how many times you fail, you get back up.
That's right.
Do like Paul said, forgetting those things that are past. Now you can't have something that you need to go take care of. Go take care of it and then forget about it.
Right.
And then press toward the mark. And so we endeavor to walk. He has told us we are sons and daughters of God. He's enabled us to do that through grace and faith. And he expects us to walk in that pathway.
That's right.
He expects you, like we tell the story, Brother Van was telling the story about the slave who conducted himself like a king's son. Mm-hmm. Conditions didn't look like it. He was having to do all these things as a slave. But you see, that's what we do. Here, we conduct ourselves by the grace of God through faith. We conduct ourselves as sons and daughters of God in this world, and he navigates us through this life. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, mm-hmm. I've already come.
Yeah.
Right? He'll take us on.
That's right.
Right? That's what we have to have. And so you endeavor to walk with the Lord every day, and when you fall, repent and get back up and start walking again.
Amen.
Walking with the Lord. Amen. And so, because every time that you come to the Lord, you say, well, I, I have fallen. I've made this mistake 50 times. But if you remember, we've got to let God be God.
Right.
He is God, and you've got to let him be God. And he's got the ability to forgive and to forget, and you've got to let him. That's another thing where you've got to allow grace to pick you up here to a place where you can say, you know what? In your mind, you might say, I have failed many times, but because I'm not righteous in myself, but because he's made me righteous, I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk according to what he has said that I am. I'm going to do that because he's made that way for me. And so, because every time that you come to him and you repent of something that you failed, and then you fail again and you come back, it's the first time in his, you got to let God be God. You remember Brother Ram talked about that, but Brother Perry Green was saying he would have thoughts that would go through his mind that he shouldn't have as a grown man. And he told us what they were. I've mentioned in the past, but he wanted to talk to Brother Brown about it. And one day, Brother Brown said, Brother Perry, you got something you wanted to ask me or whatever. And so he told Brother Brown, he said, you know, I'd have this thought, and I'd repent of it or whatever, and he'd come back, and I'd have it again later. And Brother Brown told him, said, every time you come, it's the first time because you've repented of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you don't want to take that and use that as a tool and as a license to be just slough off.
Right.
Right? That's greasy grace. But there is a grace that can help you and pick you up and keep you clean.
That's right.
Even though you know, listen, natural type spiritual. You know what? I could just, you know, if I don't take a shower at some point, you're going to know it.
Yeah.
Right? My wife's saying, you know. But if I don't, you're going to know it.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean I ain't a human. That means I am a human.
Right.
You've got, and so in our daily walk, we're going to start smelling bad.
Yeah.
So we got to go back to the fountain, go back to the place where we can be clean. Right. That's what a prayer life is, reading the Bible and praying.
Right.
That's what it does. It cleanses you every day because you live in this world.
Sure.
And so that's what you got to do. And every time you come to God and say, God, I'm sorry, you might remember you've done it 10,000 times, but he doesn't. I mean, being facetious to say, he's like, what are you talking about? This is the first time you've come here. What do you mean 10,000 times?
Yeah.
See, you have to let God be God.
Yeah.
And so, in other words, let him put you in that place where grace is provided.
Yeah.
Now, in the Zechariah, we read there where it was speaking of a prince. Brother Brown called him a prince called Zerubbabel. That word is hard to say. But the scripture said he was the one who laid the foundation, but he also would bring forth the headstone with shouting, spraying grace into it. And the word Zerubbabel, Zeru is out from, and Babel is Babel. And so he came on the scene, this Zerubbabel came on the scene at the time when God was going, you know, Israel was carried away into Babylon. There was a time when he wanted to bring them back so the Messiah could come. And so this prince rose up, and as they were coming back and to build the temple, and so this was at that time where God was bringing them from Babylon, out from Babylon, Zerubbabel, out from Babylon, even his name. And so the scripture said there that he laid the foundation. He also would bring forth the headstone and the different things we read there about it. But the scripture went on to say, who, in verse 10, who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. So, you know, when you're building something, I've used them, a plummet. It's a pointer, heavy pointer on a string.
Right.
And it's a tool that you use to make sure that your walls are straight up and down, or whatever you want to make sure it's straight up and down.
Right.
And so the scripture is saying here, this prince who was had laid the foundation was going to bring forth the headstone, which is the completion, right?
Mm-hmm.
That this same one, he said, we're going to rejoice when we see in his hand the device that he can measure and see what's right. So we're going to rejoice. But it says, and they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through all the whole entire earth. And so he would bring forth the headstone with shoutings, kind grace and grace into it. And we realize, we know, he was a man of the natural, but we know that was typing. That was typing out the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's one, you know, he laid the foundation, apostle, prophet, you know, Jesus Christ, chief cornerstone. But he also will bring forth the headstone. And so we know that's the Lord Jesus Christ, not just then, but in our day. Our day is the day whenever the headstone comes.
Yeah.
Right.
So the same Lord Jesus has laid the foundation is going to finish it. And he's going to finish it by bringing forth the capstone, the headstone. It'd be him, right? But here's, and so this ministry of coming here at the end time, because the church world had been brought into Babylon. And that's what the message came to do. The message came to do is to take us out of religious Babylon and bring us right back so the Lord can come. Right? And so he would do these things. The Lord would do all these things. And he's speaking here of rejoicing when a message would come that would be the plummet. And he would come with those seven. Seven church age messengers, seven angels, seven visitations, bringing a message to bring us out of Babylon to restore the temple of God in which we know we are, the people of God are. And so we see that, and that's what's happened today. So all those were types, and here we are, we find ourselves now. And when Brother Randall was talking about that, he's pointing out these things, these little details there, to let us know that we now have the message of grace has become.
Right.
A message of grace, double grace. See, not just unmerited favor one time, not just grace enough to get you into the church, but grace enough to get you into the bride.
Right?
Right? Because we needed grace. Because without it, we never would get there.
That's right.
We would never get there without it. So God would pour out his grace to save us. But here we find ourselves here in the end time when this message comes, God is pouring out a double measure of grace. And all I can do is think that means that's going to provide for us a place to be and a position to come to that we've never come to, even as people in church would never come to that.
Right.
So this message comes and we rejoice as he comes with those seven angels coming, bringing the plummet, and that message telling us exactly the truth, what was right. Is this church wall straight up and down? Is this one straight up and down? The message came to tell us who was who.
Right.
Luther was right. Wesley was right.
Yeah.
Right? But these others weren't.
Yeah.
The plummet, the word,
right.
To tell us. Seven messengers coming,
yeah,
to tell us. And we look at that and we rejoice when we see this measuring device in the hand of this one who's bringing us and restoring us, we rejoice in that.
Amen.
And so the scripture said, and that message is bringing us a measure of grace at this capstone coming that would provide for us an unmerited favor, put us in a place we couldn't be without it. And so, once again, by grace, God is making a way for us.
Yeah.
An end time message. It's a special thing God has done.
Yeah.
And so, like I said earlier, God expects us to accept what that message has brought us to.
Right.
And gracefully walk into it humbly. And say, Lord, I myself, I'm nothing. But because you've revealed this to me, you've shown us your grace upon us to let us look upon this word and see it and have faith. Now let's walk in it. And it'll navigate us through this treacherous hour that we're in. It's the only thing that can navigate us through it. Because In all the ages, it was God was the only one that could get them through. So it takes this message to do that. There's double grace here to do it. And so we read the scriptures there, you know, about grace, double grace, and how we are saved by grace. And then that last scripture there where Paul is saying, you know, it says, follow peace with all men. And so, as we know this message, what it translates into is a life.
Right.
A life that can live in a way that it can't without it. And so, obviously, we as believers, God wants us to do everything we can to live peaceably with all men.
Yeah.
The scriptures tell us that. But even hear this. To follow peace with all men and holiness, for without which no man shall see the Lord. I used to think, you know, if you don't walk in holiness, you won't see the Lord when when your life here is done. But the more I think about it, you're not going to see him now. Because if you walk in holiness, if you're walking with the Lord and you're walking in these things, I can see God in you, and I can see God in you, and I can see God in you. But if you're not,
yep,
you won't see that.
That's right.
Remember the story where the little boy wanted to see God.
Amen.
And the old man said, I've been here, and all I have seen is God. And Brother Brim said he had so much of God on the inside, he could see him on the outside.
That's right.
When you get to the place where you can't see God in other people's lives, it's because you don't see him in your own life.
That's right.
That's what it is. And so, see, he wants us to follow after peace with all men. That's our responsibility. The world is full of wicked people, but we are to seek after peace with all men, no matter what, and walk in holiness. And if we want to see God, we have to walk with God. If we want to see him move in this church, we've got to walk and live with him. Walk in the grace of God.
Amen.
Follow the message of grace, and you'll see him do things.
Yeah.
Right.
But if we're not going to do that, then you're not going to see him. So we have to walk in these things and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. But he goes on to say, he says, looking diligently. You know, we as believers, we're supposed to be diligent. To diligently do the things and whatever it is in our walk to maintain this that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And so we're to be diligent. And it says, looking diligently, lest you would fall or fail of the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned this before, but I want to kind of dwell on it just a little bit. God has brought a message to us today that's a message of grace. And, you know, as I said a while ago, that to not just to get us into the church, but get us into the bride, because in the seven church ages, we'd come to our dead end.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way to get out of church age thinking and into the opening of the seals where we could see our name. But God came and made a breach.
Yeah.
That's why Brother Brent preached the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals. If he hadn't have preached that, there never would have ever been a preacher anywhere ever would have put two and two together.
Mm-hmm.
To realize, hey, there needed to be something that would get us out of the church ages and into those opening of those seals and that book opened. But the Lamb coming opened the seven seal book, and when he did that, he made a breach where those of us who were stuck in Laodicea couldn't go any further than what Pentecost could give us. Mm-hmm. Now we could come right on into the rapture, right on into the things of God. Because he made a way by a message of grace, and now through faith we step into that. We walk through that breach. We leave behind church age teaching, church age nonsense, and
right,
step right into the grace of God that makes us the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do. We have to. That's the only way to escape.
Yeah.
It's through that message.
Right.
And so, but we have a responsibility to be diligent, because If we don't let this grace work in our lives, and we find ourselves in this, where Paul said, if we're not diligent, lest we fail of the grace of God. In other words, unless we get to such a place where this glorious message of grace and what it's here to do doesn't work for you. It's not that the grace failed, But we're failing of the grace of God. If in this example we're giving, we don't. If you walk in disobedience and you just don't go with these things that God has provided, then you find yourself short-circuited, and you'll find yourself in a place where this message is not doing for you what it's sent to do. And it's not the message's fault, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Right? And you can't blame someone else, because God's never going to hold you accountable for something somebody else does, but he will hold you accountable for what you do.
That's right.
Right? And so if we don't take this thing and go with it and let it move in our lives, we may find ourselves in a situation where we're looking at the message and saying, you know, it's doing nothing for me. Mm-hmm. And it's the most powerful thing that has ever come to this earth.
Right.
So Lord Jesus Christ in word form. You understand. And if that happens, if we find ourselves in a situation where we've not let the grace of God, and we've not gone with it, and let it put us in that place and be what God said we can be, and we get short-circuited, I guess I could keep saying that, we'll find ourselves in a situation where you will have a root of bitterness and you'll start defiling others.
That's right.
Yeah.
You will defile others. That's what he's telling us there. When we read that. You don't want to do that.
No.
You don't want to be found in a situation where you're bitter in your own experience, and because it will start affecting others.
That's right.
And so you've got to realize you're human. You'll make mistakes. But like I said a while ago, repent of it and get back up and start walking with God again.
Mm-hmm.
And so realize you are human, but that's what the grace of God is here for.
Yeah.
To help you into that place you couldn't be without it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but not only that, you've got to let others be human. Because you're not perfect. You make mistakes. And others do too. And you'll find out if people aren't satisfied in their own walk, and then they're not going to be satisfied anybody else.
That's right.
They're going to be taking other people, picking them to pieces and so forth. And so we all humans, and we have to realize we're humans and let the grace of God do in our lives what it's sent to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have to let that happen to others.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, don't be scrutinizing others when you won't scrutinize yourself.
Yeah.
Right? It's a mirror of God's word to look at yourself, not at somebody else.
That's right.
That's what it's for. So we have to realize we are all like Ruth in the Bible. Brother Van said Ruth had four stages in her life. And said first Ruth was deciding. Ruth had to make a decision about whether or not she was going to go back with her mother-in-law.
Right.
She had to decide. But then her second stage was serving. Legalistic. Serving. Working. And so she had that point. After her decision, then there was this legalistic time where she had to get out and work in the fields and do those things. And you can say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But in comparison to what comes next, you realize what we're saying there, what Brother Brett was saying. She had to go after deciding. She had to go into serving, working, serving, laboring. But then there come a time after that, that her next step was resting, waiting. Resting and waiting. Because after she had made a choice to come back, and then she went out and gleaned in the field, and she worked and she gleaned, and after a while she caught the attention of Boaz. Well, then at some point it moved into a time where now she didn't have to do that anymore. She was resting, waiting for Boaz to do the kinsman redeemer work. So she was resting and waiting. There is a time in our lives we have to make a decision to follow God.
Right.
We have to make a decision to follow him to begin with. We have to make a decision. You know what? I'm going to follow this word in this hour. When there's all this stuff going on and all this hypocrisy and everything else, we have to make a decision. Are we going to follow God?
Right.
Then if you do, now you've got to labor for a while in what decision you've made. So every person must work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. We all have to come to the place where we get on that ground with God, like like Jacob did, and wrestle until we get the blessing from God. Right? And that's not just once in your life. That's many times, over and over and over, that you repeat this cycle. You have to make decisions daily, and then you have to carry out your decisions.
Right.
And there's a time of working, and there's a time that while you do that, you're waiting to get our kinsman redeemer's attention.
Right.
Right? But then at some point, you enter into rest knowing, hey, I've made a decision, I've done what I'm supposed to do, and now I'm just going to rest. And I'm going to wait.
Okay.
And the last stage was Ruth being rewarded. Mm-hmm. And so this is a path. We're all like this. And we have to recognize we're like that, and our brothers and sisters are like that. And you have to realize you go through stages, and there are times when you have to make a decision. You've got to put the rubber where it meets the road. But all these things move and finally into a place where you have peace with it, and God will bring it to pass, and you'll be rewarded, only to have to do it again the next day or the next week or month or whatever.
Yeah.
And you have to let that work in your life, knowing you that by the grace of God, you're a failure, but by grace, He'll put you up here and let these things work, and you'll have victory, and then you have trials, and you have victory, and you have trials, and you have victory. And you're growing in God and all that time. And let that happen in you and in your brothers and sisters. That's what you got to do. And so, because if you don't do that, if you make a decision and you get into the works part and you become, and during that time you're real legalistic. We all go through legalistic things and stages. And there are people who stay there. And you can't stay in a legalistic, because in that legalism, you'll never feel like you're pleasing God if you're just stuck there. You gotta go through that and at some point reach the place where you have peace in your heart.
Right.
But if you stay there and you're scrutinizing and you won't give yourself the grace of God that's present there and you won't let anybody else have grace in their life, you're miserable.
Yeah.
Right.
But you've gotta grow and let these things and let these phases move, and you'll come into a place where you have peace with God, and God will reward you, and God will reward those around you as they go through things. And as I said, let God be God, but let your brothers and sisters be brothers and sisters.
Right.
Let them be those who make mistakes from time to time. We're not endorsing ungodly living. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about helping one another by having the right attitude and helping each other walk this walk. Like I said the other day about foot washing. You go out in the world, you get some of the world on you. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
You're going to get it on your feet, and as it was in the Bible there. And the whole thing was that, here, my brother, I see that you've had a trial this week, and you've got a little bit of the stink of the world on you. Let me humble myself and let me get that off of you, and not go post it on Facebook.
Right.
Right.
See? And we do that for each other. Mm-hmm. See, every member of the body supplies other things that other members need.
That's right.
Every joint supply. Right? So, my liver can help get rid of some of the nastiness that some other part of my body had. Right? Right? And so you understand. And that's the body of Christ and how it works. And so we got to let these things work in our lives and the lives of others. And if we find ourselves in a place where we're stuck in legalism, we're miserable, we're not letting the grace of God take us on through this, then we become bitter.
That's right.
And we'll defile others.
That's right.
You know, the scripture, I didn't look it up, but I forget exactly how it says it, but it's something along the lines that, you know, to someone who's their mind, is defiled or whatever, everything is defiled. Everything, right? Because they can't look and process anything right because they're messed up.
Right.
And if we get to the place where the word of God's not good enough anymore to guide us, then we're all messed up.
Yep.
Yeah.
If we get to the place where the grace of God cannot clean us every day, then we're messed up.
Right.
Because it's here to do that. Right? And then what do we do? If we like that, then what's our influence going to be on others? We're going to defile others. So there is a message of grace. Not just to save you and let you overcome things in the world, but to get us out of here.
That's right.
And it's here to do that. And so if we get to the place where the Word of God is not good enough for us anymore, we won't let it be good enough for anybody else.
Right.
If we get to the place where the grace of God is not good enough to, then we won't let anybody else walk in grace.
Yeah.
We won't let anybody else get through and overcome.
Yeah.
As soon as they make a mistake, man, we're going to hammer and magnify it and make a big deal and unchristianize them and everything.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to do that.
No, sir.
We are not supposed to do that. Yeah. And so when we get to that place, and when we get to the place where this message, the message of grace that God has so vindicated, when we get to the place where that won't do anything for us because of our reaction to it, we won't let it with anyone else.
Right.
I've seen this in the workplace. You get in the workplace and say something will happen between two guys. Maybe somebody made a mistake or whatever. But you say this guy over here had a fight with this one over here. And he'll get a spirit on him against that person. And it makes no difference what that person does. This man will never accept it. He'll never see the good. He's got a spirit on him that's making him see that other guy as an enemy. And that's what I'm saying. Once you get all messed up, you'll never see things the way you should if you're not letting God work in your life like it's meant to be.
Right.
Then you'll scrutinize others and defile others. And the whole thing's all messed up. It's designed for us to walk in the grace of God.
Yeah.
And get us through. And to know we're humans. And to help one another.
Yeah.
You know, so much of the things that you've seen happen, people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And when Brother Bram says, draws you out of the circle, just draw a bigger circle and draw them back in.
Yeah.
And that's what we should do. And so we got to let these sages that Ruth has work in their lives. Go back. Like I said the other day, you'll find the Lord right where you left it. Go right back there. He's right there.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting right there. And you know he is because you know that, I don't want to go back to that. But you got to go back there and you got to lay that on the altar right there. And that's where you find him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to take you on. Go further. As the song said, that he took us in. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so go back and make your decision. Go back. Do what needs to be done. And when you know you've done what you're supposed to do, then enter into the rest. And God will bring it to pass.
Mm-hmm.
He'll reward you.
Yeah.
I think as closing, I think about Apostle Paul. You know, the scripture said that he had something wrong. We believe it was his eyes or something. But I understand the thinking on that, and I didn't look to see what Brother Branham said about it, but I think it was probably Paul's eyes. But I just want to point something out here just for a moment. Paul sought three times for the Lord to take that from him, and he called it a messenger of Satan come to buffet him, to keep him humble. This is what the Lord, because he had a tremendous amount of revelations, he might get puffed up. So the Lord just lets this master of Satan come to buffet him so that he wouldn't get puffed up. And it goes to show you that if you're a gifted person, if God's doing things in your life, wants to do things in your life, sometimes he's got to let things happen to keep you humble.
Yeah.
That's right. We don't like to hear that. But if we're real genuine Christians, we'll say, yes, Lord, anytime you feel like you need to do that, you do that.
Amen.
Knock me down if I need to be knocked down. And that's what I'm saying. And so here's Paul, and Paul had a tremendous amount of revelation. He had to take that Old Testament and bring it all and show it was all Christ. And so there was a potential there for him to be puffed up. He was very educated. But God let this happen so that he wouldn't. And we say, well, it was his eyesight, he couldn't see, and all these sorts of things, And I'm not sure that I necessarily agree that. I don't know, because he was blind for a while, but then he was healed. Was he partially healed? I don't know. But here's the thing I want to get at is the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Paul, you've got something in your life there that needs grace. And I have grace that's sufficient to navigate you through this and may not take away whatever the problem is, may let that messenger of Satan be there to buffet you and not take that away, but my grace is sufficient to get you all the way through this, even though that messenger of Satan is there buffeting you, and I won't make him leave.
Right.
Now think about that. That God can let something go on in our lives that's not very desirable, and it's because of something about us. Paul had that because of something he needed. He needed something to hold him there, something to humble him, something to correct him or whatever. And the whole thing needed the grace of God. But God's grace being poured out upon him was not to take that away, but to leave it there because he needed it and still get Paul all the way through to be that servant and do everything that God intended for him to do.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We always think, oh, a blessed life in the Lord is to never have anything like that. And I'm showing you there that it took the grace of God in Paul's life. And God's grace took that man all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Let him write the New Testament.
That's right.
Grace can keep you no matter what's going on in your life. And if you are in the wrong, God's grace can still help you and deal with you.
That's right.
And if he has to correct you, but you'll still be his child. His grace will still be upon you. His grace is sufficient. And this message in this hour, the message of grace, is sufficient.
Amen.
Sufficient to do everything, whatever it is that we needed to happen to get us in a body change. Whatever we need to get us over ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
This message has it.
Right.
It's sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. It was for Paul. And God used Paul as an example.
Yeah.
Right. Paul said, I held the coats of them that stoned Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was a terrible man. I was persecuting the church of God. And then God come down and says, I'm going to use you
mm-hmm.
as an example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That if I can take someone who persecuted the church of God, and I can not only save him, but I can make him the messenger of the hour. I can make him the one that lays the foundation that everything else has to go on top of.
Mm-hmm.
If the grace of God can do that for a man like that, have you ever held the coats of someone that was killing a Christian? No. Maybe we have verbally.
Mm-hmm.
But you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
God used that as an example to show you his grace is sufficient.
Amen.
It's in that Bible for a reason. And so he wants us to let that grace work in it and not fail of the grace of God. But listen, you've got to accept it. You've got to forgive yourself. That's hard to do. When you realize you've done things and knew better and you did it anyway and you saw that it turned out to be bad and you knew it in the first place, but you did it, and it's all, you got to let the grace of God get you through that. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, as we come to the end of this, I pray, God, that these words have been an encouragement to your people. Lord, I believe that you have directed me in this direction. And Lord, just to share these things. And may we find ourselves, maybe as we look at Paul's life and realize that that's us. Lord, and you showed how powerful that your grace is to help people through life and through things. And so, Lord, just may we just have a fresh revelation of what your presence and your grace is in our lives, Lord, to get us through. That no matter who we are, no matter what we're struggling with, God, it's sufficient. And if we'll just let you work in our lives, you'll get us through this. Lord, help us always remember these stages in our life where we have to make decisions, we have to carry them out, and we have to rest and wait on you, knowing, God, that you will always reward those who are diligently looking and trying to be what they are supposed to be. Lord, we ask that your blessings of this would be on all your people, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Find a song to sing. There's no one that's got character like the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of it many times, you know. He's my hero.
Yes.
And I tell him that, Lord, you're my hero. You're my king. think about that. I'm trying to be selfish, but you do the same. He's my king. I say sometimes, Lord, I wave my little flag at you.
Yeah.
And I know you see it. I know that sometimes when I don't know where to turn and I wave my little flag to him, and I know, and I say, Lord, I know you see me.
Yeah.
Right? Not like that little girl that didn't know that the king would see her.
Yeah.
But he's my hero, my king, my savior, my healer, my God, my comforter, my Jehovah seven compound redemptive names. Mine. You know? Just like we say, behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet. Are you claiming it?
Yeah.
Are you claiming that prophet for you? Right? I am. And that's what we should do. Amen. He is our king.
He was there.